today on Real Radio.
Mom and Dad, listen up, school teachers. This is great. God actually instructs us to teach kids precept upon precept, line upon line. Putting it simply, God says our kids learn best with repetition. They love it. God says that's how we learn the best.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "This Is Gonna Hurt Me More Than It's Gonna Hurt You," continues a series called "The God of Our Salvation," the book of Isaiah. I'm so glad you joined us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, also what's going to happen in the last days, and the events that lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 27, we saw how Israel and her calling as God's chosen people is an example of the very person, nature, and character of God. He is our promise keeper, and in the end times, God promises to defend Israel. Now in Isaiah chapter 28, a new section begins regarding Israel and how God deals with them when they allow their prosperity to deceive them. So today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God warns the leaders of Israel that their pride, their drunkenness, and their self-confidence will be their ruin. In God's eyes, they'd become unteachable, but the Lord God is also very tender-hearted. He gives them the opportunity to turn from their sin. And now continuing his lesson called "This Is Gonna Hurt Me More Than It's Gonna Hurt You," here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Whenever you read the Bible, you want to read the Bible to see what you can get out of it. Personal application. Is it even possible that we could be such a, quote, verdant valley, incredible fruitfulness, and wind up forgetting God and losing the perspective of who God is, where we have got to have other things instead of God? And remember, I've told you before, it's not bad having other things, but if we love those things, and maybe more fatal than that, is if we say to these things, they are my identity, they are my meaning. If you begin to do that, you are in deep idolatry as a believer. If God, listen, loves you, he's going to remove those things. This is a tough thing to say, listen. And I could never judge, nor could you. We don't have this inside information. But there are brothers and sisters in Christ who get prosperous. They get blessed. And some of them lose their way. I've watched this over almost 40 years of being a Christian. They start out with nothing. They prosper. Not all of them, but some of them lose their way. And they're real believers. And you see them go through years of struggle, and then all of a sudden, it's taken away from them. And you say, well, would God ever do that? Oh, yes, he does do that. Now, look, I am not, if you're sitting here tonight saying, oh my goodness, how did he know about our lives? Did somebody tell him? How did Jack know? I don't know nothing about nobody. Listen, and just because I said that, it doesn't mean that's you. Listen, you've got to find that out for yourself, but it does happen. Don't think that God has turned his back on you. He actually loves you, and you've gotten your eyes off of him. And to get your attention, he brings you back that way. Just like we would do with our kids. We reel them in. You've got to do that, or else they'll lose their way. It's a very serious thing. Verse 5, he says, in that day. Now, there's that famous three words you know now. Isaiah's looking way now out to the future, beyond us, by the way, beyond us here tonight. In that day, the coming of the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory. Notice the opposing crown. There's the crown of pride of man, and there's the crown of glory, that is the Lord, and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, that's Israel, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Verse 7, but they also have erred through wine. Wow. And through intoxicating drink. There's wine and then this hard drink. They're out of the way. The priest... Listen to this. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Wow. Verse 8, for all tables are full. Their tables, look, are full of vomit and filth. Isaiah's such a nice guy. He's doing really good until he comes to verse 8. There's puke everywhere, and their house is filthy because they're just drunk all the time. Wow. Look, it's kind of a weird thing, man. You're going to remember this verse after tonight. You say, I don't think so. Yeah, you will. You know what? You know what's freaky? What's freaky is when you go to the grocery store and you see a certain priest from a certain church loading up their shopping carts with beer and wine and in their priestly clothes. Am I the only one who has seen this? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Okay, what is that? It's Isaiah 28. Priest representing the Lord with a shopping cart full of Budweiser and Heineken and Smirnoff. Is that what it's called? Smirnoff? How do you know? And it's like, what is this for? It's for our beer and Bible night. Oh, please. Listen, young people, just hate me now. A lot of young people today are being told, oh man, it's awesome to be a Christian and drink. You can drink. Come to communion, you can drink. We'll have our staff drinking parties. Don't laugh. I know Christian churches whose staff they have drinking at their staff meetings. Yeah. God says, no. My people, my priests, my leaders, they drink. Their vision is goofy. Their judgment is skewed. Wow. Now, you're going to stop me in the foyer tonight. You're going to say, I believe God has given me the liberty. Listen, that's between you and God, but let me tell you, how free are you if you've got to tell me about your liberty? I'm just saying. Let's just make it really personal. How would you feel? What would you think if you see my wife and I at Wood Ranch? You know Wood Ranch Grill? Amazing food. But so we're sitting there and we're hammering down whatever's hammered, the beers and the wines, the spirits. Isn't it weird they call them spirits? Because you drink it, it opens up the door to spirits. But it's like, oh, and you know, and you've got the liberty. Pastor, I've got the liberty. But if you saw me doing that, it's like, what? Right? Hey, we're in this together, everybody. Look, life's too short to dull yourself. And then listen, let's be honest. No one makes a good decision when you're stupid like that. No one makes good decisions. Listen, happy hour. I would love to take a real life camera crew, right? Walk into one of those happy hours and say, hey, we're gonna come and talk to some people at happy hour. Hey, how are you? Are you happy in this hour? Oh man, I'm here. What's the matter? My wife left me, dude. But you're at happy hour. Why is it called happy hour? It's come and get happy hour. You're not happy. Oh man, it's just to relax. That's what God's for. And, well, Pastor, I have a business account. That's my job. I have to take these guys out and get them drunk because they won't buy our product on its own. I've got to totally get them drunk so they'll buy the piece of junk I'm trying to sell them. Do you know how much money you spend in business meetings on drink? Think about it. The only thing worse than that is Sacramento and Washington, D.C. Those two locations have a massive concentration of drunks and their elected officials. I'm not making it up. You and I pay money for our state legislators to get driven home free on your money with a special legislative drunk driving taxi that you and I pay. And what do? They go get drunk and they make decisions on your child's future. They make decisions about how our nation's or how our state's going to spend money. You want to know why we still have a water crisis? Because they're up there drinking. They're not thinking. I'm serious. You know why we still have potholes on our freeways now? How come they haven't fixed those things? Because they're drinking. They're not making the right decisions. It's unbelievable. And these people, God is saying, you are the leaders of my spiritual heritage. And how can you lead them? And you're buzzed out of your mind like that. Wow, he's laying it down. He's judging them. And he says, there's vomit all over their tables. Wow. That's pretty sick. In verse 8, he says, for all these tables of vomit and filth, no place is clean. Verses 9 through 10, there's the guilt of being unteachable. They were intoxicated. They were filled with their opulence and wealth, and they didn't need God anymore because they had these amazing things that got them into idle sin. And now look at the indictment. They're unteachable. Verses 9 to 13. He says, whom will teach knowledge? The structure of verse 9 is actually the people are saying this back to Isaiah. You might want to write that in your notes. It'd make much more sense. Off to the margin, verse 9, the people are responding to Isaiah. Whom will he, Isaiah, teach knowledge? In other words, what are you talking to us again about this stuff, Isaiah? And whom will he make to understand the message? Don't preach to us. Those just weaned from milk? Is that who he's going to teach? Those just drawn from the breast? Is he going to teach kids? Listen, they're mocking him. For precept must be upon precept. They're actually, it would be like this. I'm not kidding. It would be like this. For precept upon precept, they would say. Who's going to teach us, Isaiah? You? We're so tired of hearing your messages to us about this stuff. So what are you going to do? Precept upon precept? This is a really good thing, but they're mocking it. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. They're saying, Isaiah, are you going to repeat your message to us again? They weren't listening. And so now they're mocking the prophet back. And what's sad about this, mom and dad, listen up, school teachers, this is great. God actually instructs us to teach kids line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line. Putting it simply, God says our kids learn best with repetition. They love it. God says that's how we learn the best. And they're making fun of that to him. They're mocking Isaiah and kind of blowing him off like that. So they're being sarcastic. Stop talking to us like we're little kids. They're saying. Verse 11. Now Isaiah speaks. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. To whom he said, quote, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And quote again, this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So Isaiah is regurgitating afresh what they had already heard but had rejected. They wouldn't listen. That they might go, listen to this, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. This is serious. They don't want to hear the word. They're religious. They think they're God's people. Look, in a modern day thing, we're America. This is America. God would never do this to us. Don't talk about that. Listen, you want to get in trouble as a Christian or a pastor? Insinuate or say that something's happening and that you believe it's an act of God's judgment. I'm not saying do it like weirdos do it. You know, there's a lot of weirdos out there that say, oh, this has happened because of God's judgment. I'm talking, if you were to say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, or it aligns with Scripture that this could be a form of judgment. If you say that, you are going to get phone calls. You want to know why? Because someone listening or hearing you thinks that you might have stepped on their little thing over here that they've been protecting. You don't even know what it is. You don't even know who the person is, but they're convicted. And when they're convicted, they rise up. And you can just suggest God, you could say, God is going to discipline America for its wayward conduct, you know, or whatever. Oh, man, fire and brimstone, lunatic, or whatever. And they did it to Isaiah. They did it to Jeremiah. They did it to Ezekiel. We just think because God must be an American, he thinks that America, we must get a free pass and we can do whatever we want and it's cool with him. Was it cool with him in Israel? Not at all. They didn't get a free pass. Why should we? We're not gonna. I mean, that's a fact. The question is not if judgment's coming, it's when it's coming. And we'll know. I believe clearly from, and I have faith in the scriptures regarding this truth. You won't have to guess if God is bringing judgment on America, because God will always send his messengers. It will start being spoken of by pulpits across America. It won't be one crazy guy on some radio program or some guy in some tower someplace or some basement with the internet. It will start like salt and pepper across the nation because God's people will be listening to him. And he'll start putting in the hearts. And it will be, it'll start out ever so gently first. You'll hear sermons from Dr. David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, men who are speaking into the nation that have a national platform. And it'll be sprinkled in there. They won't be forcing it. And you'll know those who are of God. Listen carefully. Because inside of them, there'll be that message will come with a lamentation in their heart. It won't be, oh, America, you're going down. You're going down, you're going to burn. It won't be like that. Those who are speaking will be gut-wrenched and broken. They won't go like this, you're going to burn. No, they're going to say, we are in trouble. Daniel did that. Remember Daniel? Daniel 9, starting at verse 1. You ought to read it sometime. You ought to read it tonight. It's so tragically sweet and precious. His heart's broken because his nation had sinned. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. I'm quoting Jesus himself, friends. Listen, and I know this is just not so cool to talk about in church these days, but come on, this is Jesus. Luke 13, 34, Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Man, do you hear that? For millennia, I've been sending you prophets begging you to turn. I've chastised you by having you go into slavery, having your possessions taken away, and you still wouldn't listen. You wouldn't even look up to me. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Is that not a beautiful thing? Have you ever seen that happen? It's beautiful. When the little chicks get scared, when a hawk or a shadow of a hawk flies over the field and the little chicks are out, they're out eating around. And just the shadow of potential danger, the little chicks run from every angle and the hen pulls, she just kind of squats down a little bit, she stretches out her wings and they just come in like magnets. And she just goes, and she sits down, and it's awesome. She's just sitting there like, just try it. And then when the danger passes, she stands back up, and they all go running out again. Jesus says, I wanted to do that with you. He says, but you weren't willing. See, verse 35, your house has left you desolate. You could see him pointing to the temple when he said that. Your house has left you desolate. And assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the times come when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's still future. Wow. The tender heart of God towards his people. God bears us up. He waits for us. He sends us word and warning. The third thing is verses 14 to 29, and they were guilty of being self-confident. It's an easy sin to be derailed with. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, watch this, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Wow. You could hear Isaiah. It's like, what'd you say? Don't worry about it. This is what it means, you guys. This is amazing. Do you know who Neverland Chamberlain is? Isaiah, don't worry. We met with the bad guys, and they told us we will have peace in our time. We don't have to worry about Adolf Hitler. He promised us he would not invade Europe. Look it up. Go to on YouTube tonight. He steps off the airplane with a piece of paper in his hand, and he's waving it around to Churchill. We've got peace. Actually, he didn't wave it to Churchill. Churchill looked at it, and, I mean, he said, you're an idiot. Churchill could see right through the whole thing. And Europe's still, yeah! Hitler signed the piece of paper! Listen, Israel goes, Isaiah, just pipe down. You're kind of overreacting. We met with the devil, and he signed the paper. We've made a covenant with hell. What do you think of that? We got a deal. Hell won't bother us if we don't bother hell. So you just go away, Isaiah. We're good. It's fine. That's called policy, bad policy. That's insane.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, This is Gonna Hurt Me More Than It's Gonna Hurt You. I'm so glad you joined us today. And don't forget, God is slow to get angry, but don't wait to come to him. His outstretched arms are ready and waiting to receive you. This is Gonna Hurt Me More Than It's Gonna Hurt You is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, let me turn you on to a couple of videos that you can find on Pastor Jack's Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. These videos were filmed live during one of his recent tours to Israel. Now, one of them is called The Authority and Reliability of the Bible. It's a message that he spoke from the caves located near the Dead Sea. Now, you may be wondering why Pastor Jack did a message from there. Well, it was inside these caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. A significant discovery when it comes to trusting God's Word, the Bible. Pastor Jack also taped one of his Facebook Happening Now broadcasts from Israel. His special guest is our friend Amir Safati, who many of you know is from Israel, but did you know that he's a major in the Israeli Defense Force? This is the first time that Pastor Jack did his Happening Now broadcast outside the U.S. He's speaking from the prophetic Valley of Armageddon, and according to the Book of Revelation, it's the location where armies will gather for a final battle during the end times. So head on over to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And don't forget to click on the notifications icon for all of Pastor Jack's latest videos. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.